My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 3rd of September 2009 and the time is now 6:14 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Loz Keel. I'm 40 years old and I live in Worcester Park.
And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good for 6:15 in the morning. It's okay, yeah.
Would you normally be up at this time in the morning?
No. Previously, when I ran my own business, yes, but now I'm pleased to say no.
How did you get here this morning?
I got a cab. Local licensed bandit picked me up at the right time, although he was too shy to knock on the door in case he got the wrong house. So he sat in the road and looked a bit nervous. And he dropped me off in Trafalgar Square and then relieved me of every penny I've ever earned. Considering it's 12 miles, yes. Yeah, never mind. I'm here. That's the main thing.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
I can. I used to work in London and come in every day, and it was... I remember the pitch. I remember Anthony Gormley's pitch for the fourth plinth being covered in the papers. And I remember then thinking it was a fantastic idea, and I hope he got the gig. Of course, never imagining that I might be chosen, I might be here.
Why did you think it was something you might want to be part of?
Because it's different, because I've always admired Anthony Gormley's work. It's a one-off. I don't think it'll happen again in the near future, and to be lucky enough to be one of 2,400 people, that's quite special.
When did you find out you had a place?
Only on Saturday. Somebody dropped out, so I got a phone call Saturday afternoon, which was lovely. Jumped at the chance, and yes, so I had less time to prepare than other people, but that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Have you thought about how you're going to spend your time up there?
I have. Loads of people have given me ideas, but I did originally think I would do nothing. And just be. That to me was what the project was about. 2,400 different people just being themselves. That was kind of the uniqueness. Obviously a few freaks and weirdos have come out of the woodwork, but I never saw it as a stage.
So what are you going to do? You brought some things along, haven't you?
Yeah, I have an intriguing black plastic sack of severed limbs, which I'm going to throw from the plinth down onto the waiting crowd. I can't wait to see. Yeah, I can't wait to see their reaction. No, in seriousness, I've been in the catering trade all my life, and I realise a common theme through my life has been coffee. So I've put together little coffee cups, and in there a little sachet of coffee, some milk, some sugar, and a little sweet, and I shall be lobbing them at the hopefully grateful crowd. Also a little note in there that says who I am. This was the best idea I could come up with in 4 days, and if people could do me a favour and text me their thoughts while they're sitting down and enjoying the cup of coffee that I've hopefully provided for them. So their philosophy and their thoughts, it'll be interesting if I get a text. What it might be, but there's 60 of them, 60 cups. Hopefully there'll be 60 people to receive them, and I did that for one per minute.
About the hot water?
Well, it's for them to take away and add their own. I'm assuming they have the wherewithal. Sit in the office instead of going to the machine, enjoy my rather paltry offering.
You mentioned that you've always had, there's always been a link with coffee throughout your life. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember as a kid drinking coffee at a very early age. I've only since learnt that it you probably shouldn't, but I remember at the age of 9 and 10 having coffee, and not milky weak coffee, but strong black coffee. That's just been my life. I know it sounds odd now to say it out loud. And then to move into the catering trade, coffee is always on. I latterly for the last 8 years have run my own coffee shops in London before we sold them. And yeah, I could drink 10, 12, 15 cups a day without thinking about it. It's there, it's a fabulous product, it's made to order, it's fresh, and it gives you that lift. And then I decided to stop drinking coffee completely, which I did for about a year and a half, and that was an interesting, if slightly nauseous making decision, because your body reacts in a completely weird way to the lack of caffeine.
How did your body react?
I had physical pain. I was working at the same time, doing a thorough detox, so no alcohol, no coffee, and then ultimately we did raw fruit and vegetables for 2 weeks, nothing cooked. And for the first few days, incredibly intense migraine-type headaches. And then even for months after I'd stopped drinking coffee, I would bend over and a shooting pain straight into the brain. And only then you realise what a hold it has on you. And that's when you decide you're never going to have another cup. Of course, that goes out of the window. The first dinner party you go to, the first early morning you have, and you're back on. So, yeah, that's where I am now.
How many cups a day are you on now, do you think?
Absolutely limited to nothing after midday, and so one or two. Yeah, tops. Otherwise, it freaks me out.
How do you feel on that now?
Yeah, it's fine, as long as it's early enough in the day. You kind of back in the routine of needing it, almost.
Did you find that your mood changed at all when you stopped drinking? Did it have an effect?
I not as far as my mood. People would comment that my hair looked glossy and my eyes looked bright and my skin looked fabulous. And I think that was all part of the detox thing. And when you give up, I guess anything, but if you give up coffee, people then come to you with their horror stories about giving up coffee. Friends who had lumps that mysteriously disappeared because they stopped drinking, and it's weird. I don't think we realise some supposedly simple chemicals we put into our body, the effects they can have.
You're still working in the catering trade?
I am. I've just changed jobs, just started a new job. I now cater for location, filming for TV and film. So it's a bit more out and about.
How demanding is that?
So far, not at all. This is my second week and it's been a very easy start. The real test will come in the next few months when I hit the ground running and take over the job full time and hopefully start getting busy, yeah.
What does it actually involve, the job? What will it involve?
The job will involve everything from the initial inquiry or going to get the business, bombarding TV companies and production companies with our literature, through to ensuring that the team turn up on the job in the kitchen and provide what we've agreed. So, yeah, from beginning to end.
Are you hands-on at all? Do you get involved in the cooking operation? Or?
I will do if necessary. In an ideal world, I'd like to think not, but my boss will probably expect me to be there hands dirty and doing the business, yeah.
Is that something, had you thought about making that switch from having the coffee shops to going into the Cajun location catering business? Have you thought about that for quite a while?
We had the coffee shops, myself and my business partner, for 8 years in total, and it was an easy decision after about seven to move on to something else. When we opened the coffee shops, we had to. It was a driving force to do our own business, not work for anybody else anymore. We knew everything we needed to know to open a business, and then very soon realised we knew nothing. So it was a fabulous learning curve. We learned loads. We had three branches in London, which we ran successfully for 8 years, and then sold it as a going concern, which is very pleasing. And then after a few months of planned time off, this job appeared, and it's unlike any other I've seen. Many challenges and using different areas of my experience. So it was an easy decision to accept this slightly different role.
And how did you get involved in the catering trade? Did you go to college, or did you know what you wanted to do?
No, I think like a lot of people, you don't know what you want to do, and the weekend job turned into a full-time job, and then you get sucked in. I was fairly good at what I did and was sent on plenty of training courses, and then you realise 10 years have gone by and you would then find it very difficult to change to something else. But the catering trade has been good to me, and I've enjoyed it. The fantastic range of people you get to meet, and the different things you have to do. Yeah, it's been good.
What do you do when you're not working?
When I'm not working, I sleep quite a lot. And when I'm not sleeping, I'm a member of the local amateur dramatic society, and I've been with them now. I started in 2000. I had a few years off to dedicate to the business, and I'm back with a vengeance. I try and do one or two productions a year performing, but I've just written a pantomime, and I'm just beginning to start directing the pantomime for performance this Christmas.
Where will that be on?
That will be on at Parkshot Theatre in Richmond, so quite near Richmond Theatre itself, but a little studio theatre. We wanted something intimate.
Is this your first panto, did you say?
I've been in a panto before, a few years ago, but this is the first one I've written, and this is the first of anything I've ever directed. So it's nice to be indulged.
People. Which panto is it?
Well, it's the one everyone starts with, I guess, Cinderella. It's the regular story with a few twists and turns. And
can you give me an insight into what some of those twists are?
Well, not really. It's more about being adapted for a very small theatre. So, for example, there'll be no scenery, but there will be a big book at the back that where people are required to turn the pages. It's all about the costumes and the look of the thing. We've created the role of concept designer for a particularly fabulous friend who will produce superb results through costumes and program design and flyer design. So, yes, it's some of the modern dress as well.
Are you using it?
I shan't be in it. No, that would just be too much for even my ego to take.
Is it a large ego?
I think, truth be told, most people have a large ego. I just admit that I do. It needs satisfying every now and again. Yeah, it does. It does.
Does acting do that for you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think so. I've been lucky to fall in with a great group of people. And, of course, we have fun, and it's a lot about that. It's more than just performing. But yeah, there's nothing better than, as Julian Clary once said, a nice warm hand upon your entrance.
When did you first start acting?
I did a bit at school and then stopped, went out and earned a living. And then in the year 2000, for New Year's Eve 2000, my New Year's resolution was to challenge myself and do something a bit different. And having mentioned that probably foolishly to a few people, I then got a phone call about a week later from somebody saying, well, here's your challenge, step up or shut up. And I've never looked back, yeah.
Does anybody know that you're doing this?
Well, I've only had 4 days to publicise it, so it's been on Facebook for a few days. And, of course, close friends and family, I've told them. And, yeah, on the whole, the reception has been good, with just the odd exception. Yeah, and I mentioned it to my brother yesterday, and he said, well, why do you want to do that? It's a very difficult question to answer, really. He's not into it, and that's fine, and that's what I believe art should be about, really. You take what you want and you leave what you don't want. Fabulous to get a different reaction, really. But he did promise to watch on the webcam, so we might convert him yet.
Were you aware of Anthony Gormley's work before this project, prior to this project?
I was. I think it's fair to say I've been a big fan. The installation he had in London, the people on rooftops, I used to thoroughly enjoy that. I used to get the bus from Waterloo at 7 o'clock in the morning on a nice bright sunny day, and as you're travelling across Waterloo Bridge, you can pick out the silhouettes of the men on the buildings. Fabulous. My only regret is that they took them all away. These sort of things should stay.
Why do you think that is? What does it add to?
It just makes life a bit more interesting. I think it's it didn't do anybody any harm, and I don't know, it just brings people together. You could see other people smiling, you could certainly see people in the street pointing, and maybe if they'd been there a long time that the novelty value would have been lost, but on the whole, no, great. Anything that gets people talking and smiling, especially in a grim old town like London, can be all to the good, really.
What's important to you in life, would you say, at the moment?
In life at the moment, a bit of stability, I guess, after running my own business. And then friends, family, happiness, relaxation, the garden. It's all good.
How do you relax?
I love a good book. I've just started writing, so I'm 2 pantomimes down, and I've just started writing a play, so something a bit more serious. And
where are you hoping the play will be put on? What will you do with that?
At the moment, the plan is to finish it as a one-act play, and then a very good friend of mine, who is an incredibly good director, has offered to look at it, work on it maybe, and then enter it into some one-act play competitions and see what happens. But I have no expectations. It's just fun to do, really.
Do you find it easy to write?
I find it easy to have ideas, and then the writing process is a bit of a grind, but then I'm really pleased when I've done it. So, yes, it's satisfactory to look back on something that you've completed, but you can get bogged down, and every now and again you just have to walk away and get on with the rest of your life, work and friends, and yes, I can see how it becomes all-consuming.
Do you have any reservations about doing this?
About doing this? No, I slightly scared that people might throw things, but so far apparently that's not happened, and there's no reason to believe it will happen to me. But there is an irrational fear of the unknown, I guess. But that's good. That's very exciting. I had nerves yesterday, and that doesn't. I don't normally get affected, and then again this morning, and that's all to the good. That's a good thing.
Do you regard this as some sort of stage or performance space or what?
I don't. My original concept was it was 2,400 people just being themselves, just showing humanity across the board, really. Colours, races, religions. London has a fantastic mix of them, and this was really just going to reflect that across a countrywide level, I guess. But no, a few freaks and nutcases have come out of the woodwork. And whilst very entertaining to watch, I never thought it was about necessarily entertaining the people.
Have you watched it at all on the net?
I watched it loads on the net, more so in the last 3 or 4 days, of course. It's very interesting. Web feeds in general are more obvious these days than ever, and yeah, you can lose yourself in the whole thing.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go up on the plinth?
No, I can't wait. I hope people are kind, but I'm sure they will be, and I can't wait to just see what it's all about. Get the adrenaline going a bit more, maybe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.